Big idea number three, the fundamentals. When I think back to times when I experienced the significant bouts of anxiety and I was heavily medicated and just wasn't in a very good place, I really think about my eating, moving, sleeping and mental training and realised that I just didn't know enough about these to have them dialed in. Whenever I work with clients, coaching clients, or work with large groups, or you know, speak to audiences, hundreds if not thousands of people, I find that those who are most anxious or experiencing some form of psychological disturbance, anxiety, depression, etc., they don't have their fundamentals dialed in. If you want to see how tall a building can grow, you have to look at how deeply the foundations have been dug. And greatness comes from mastery of the fundamentals. So let's look at how you can better and dial in more readily your eating, your nutrition, your movement, your sleep, and your mental training by me expressing a couple subtle little shifts that you could make. So eating. I'm always asked, Ross, what's the best possible piece of nutritional advice you could give? And the simple, most immediately implementable tool that I could give would be this. Change your breakfast. Change 33.3% of your dietary habits. Change your breakfast, and you've already changed a third of your dietary habits. And you can do that through making a 1 minute morning smoothie. Some almond milk, some kale, half an avocado, a banana and some blueberries. Boom, there you go, done. And play with that, it's a challenge, 60 seconds, and you're filling your body with healthful produce. And this is important for many reasons, because what they've found is that the gut is the cornerstone of health. And those who have more fiber and more micronutrients in their diet are liable to have a healthier gut. Healthy gut, healthy mind. Mind and gut are dramatically connected. There's been massive studies to show that through the implementation of dietary changes in rats, they can make shy mice bold, and bold mice shy through changing their nutritional profile. There's also other studies like the forced swimming study where they had depressed rats that showed apathy to social situations, rats that had imbalanced neurotransmitters, and rats that also had elevated cortisol. They were defined as depressed rats. And in phase two of that study, they implemented some beneficial bacteria, Lactobacillus rhamnosus. And in doing so, they enhanced the rats' motivations. Unbelievable. Just through dietary changes. And this is because that our gut is connected to the brain, and what we put into our stomachs doesn't just plop out the other end, for the want of a better term. Our gut isn't just some garbage disposal system, it's the cornerstone of our health. I'm reminded of one of my favourite little mantras that I create. I like to write poetry, and I like to write health poetry, and this is a little useful mantra that I think could serve as a mantra, a tool of the mind for you. It is, food can be friend or foe, either way, it will let you know. Treat the gut bad, it'll make you sad. Treat it good, and it'll enhance your mood. And that, just ground yourself in that and remind yourself that the gut is the cornerstone of health. To really change your diet, all you have to do is break things down into these immediately implementable tasks. Change your breakfast, change a third of your dietary habits, make sure you get a lot of fibre in there and micronutrients, and you'll optimise not just your gut but your mind, because they're immediately connected. Next, your sleep. We've gone from sleeping 10 hours a day to 6.2 in less than 150 years. And there are massive consequences to our mind and body due to those shifts. And those are due to technological differences, always having our technological devices close at hand. And these technological devices, such as our phones, iPads, and computers, serve to negatively influence the natural cycles of hormones in our body. In order for us to get quality night's rest, we need to have elevated levels of a sleep hormone called melatonin. It's the get good sleep hormone. And that immediately increases throughout your day. However, at night when it should be peaking, we insert these technological devices into the equation, i.e. our iPads, our laptops and such, and it serves to diminish this melatonin, this get good sleep hormone. So a suggestion would be to have a digital detox or a digital sunset, basically to refrain from engaging as much with said devices and technologies. If you do that, if you set a little reminder to say, okay, it's 9 o'clock in the evening, turn off all my digital appliances, you then take back control. You then empower yourself to optimize your sleep. And that can really influence your psychological state and completely diminish your anxiety if it is present. Next, movement. Most people who are anxious don't really have their movement dialed in. Maybe they move, maybe they go to the gym, but are they operating at the right kind of level? Are they activating or raising their heart rate high enough to get those sweet benefits? Because there's a particular system that I have created by merging tactics that are put forth by tribes throughout history and culture. And what those tribes would do was they would move consistently throughout their days for 3 to 5 miles on average. But 3 times a week they would engage in some strenuous activity. Maybe the chopping of wood, the climbing of trees, sprinting from prey or sprinting towards a catch, as it were. So what you want to be doing is you want to elevate your heart rate. And there's a system, and if you know the system, you can boost your brain power. You can build more brain cells, neurogenesis, that's a process of generating more brain cells. Most importantly, you can buffer against mental illness and push towards a flourishing mental state. You can enhance your cardiovascular functioning and a whole load of other benefits. And here's how you do it. First, you need to know your age. So insert your age below the number 220. As an example, I'm 31. I'll make it 30 for ease. Put in the number 30. And you want to take, subtract the bottom number away from the top number. So for me, the result is 190. Then you take that number, the 190, whatever that may be for you, and you divide that number by 10, giving you a second number. My number would be 19. Then to get 60 to 85% of your maximum heart rate, you multiply 19 by 6 and 19 by 8.5. And that should give you your final set of numbers, which will serve to be 60% and 85% of your maximum heart rate. And the reason you need to know these is that you want to engage in 3 bouts of 10, only 10 minute exercise per week, where you enter into that state, where you operate between 60 to 85% of your maximum heart rate. And you can do this through testing your pulse. Now, this serves to be a very efficient technique so that you can get maximum gain while minimizing pain. Some people go into the gym and they're on the treadmill running for an hour at a time, but it's a slow and steady pace and they never really get beyond 60 to 65% of their maximum heart rate. And thus, they're putting themselves through an unnecessary long and laborious workout when otherwise they could implement a tactic like this, a very efficient tactic. Remember, effective is pushing yourself towards your goal of being more optimal, and efficient is pushing yourself towards your goal of being more optimal of mind and body, but in the most economical manner. Maximize gain, minimize pain. So give that a bash, work out your numbers, and up-level your movement acronym. As a reminder, try and aim to walk 4 days of the week, around about 5 miles, and then 3 times a week, what you want to do is get your heart rate in between 60 to 85% of your maximum heart rate for just 8 to 10 minutes at a time. It's a very achievable task. And if you're in a situation right now where that's not achievable for you, if you rub that up against the reality, you're overweight, you're very mentally and physically unhealthy, then just reduce it to the ridiculous. Set a smart goal. Why not do it one time as an experiment for the next 4 weeks and incrementally build it up? Remember, when building habits, it's all about the habit. The habit is more important than the intensity of the habit. Look at Habits 101 to find out how to more effectively embed new habits in your life. And lastly, mental training. Of all the tactics, I find mental training the most important. And a simple system that you can use is one that I've learned over the years, and that is called the 5-3-1 formula for optimal mental health. 5-3-1, which literally means and can take you less than 8 minutes. So it's 5 minutes of meditation, which I'll teach you to do in just a second. It's 3 things to be grateful for, and it's 1 act of kindness. And this formula, engaging this every single day, will reduce anxiety and stress, boost positive emotion, and improve long-term health outcomes. Clinically proven. And all you need to do is take 8 minutes every single day. And if you're someone who's making an excuse and says, well, I don't have 8 minutes in my day, I would counter that argument by stating that the average person spends 90 minutes on Facebook alone each and every single day. The average person watches on average 4.5 hours of TV per day and checks their phone 52 times. And to be honest, a lot of us go to the toilet and sit in the toilet a lot longer than 8 minutes. And so there's very, very many opportunities throughout your day where you could use 8 minutes wisely, consciously, effectively to really reduce your anxiety and optimize your mind and body. Okay, meditation. Here's how you meditate simply in 60 seconds. People have these misconceptions about meditation that it's for spiritual woo-woo hippy-dippy types or academic sciencey types. When really, the process of meditation is quite simple. Sit upright. We're going to be breathing through our noses. Remember, nasal breathing, deep diaphragmatic breathing. You're going to bring your attention to the now, the present moment. Laser focus on the sensations of the body. You're going to breathe in for 6, hold for 2, exhale for 7. You'll do it 4 times over. You've just meditated for a minute. If you get any thoughts, those are normal. Come back to your reference point, your anchor. When we throw an anchor overboard from a boat, what does that do? It serves to keep us fixed and grounded in the present moment. Even though we may drift left to right, we remain grounded. That's what happens when you get thoughts. You dwell on them, you return to your reference point, your anchor, which is your breath. So let's give that a little try. Ground yourself, get comfortable, sit upright. And here goes, breathe in through the nose for 6. Hold for 2, and exhale through the nose for 7. Again, breathe in for 6. Hold for 2, exhale for 7. And we'll do that one more time. Breathe in for 6. Hold for 2. Exhale for 7. Open your eyes. And just for one moment, become aware of how you feel now, as opposed to how you felt just a few seconds ago. That is meditation in its simplest sense. If you break all forms of meditation down to their simplest component parts, you set a clear intention for what you want, you identify a clear anchor, something to chuck you in, keep you grounded and fixed in the present moment. Understand that thoughts are normal and that when you dwell on them, just return to your anchor. Sit upright in a calm, confident, dignified manner. And focus on your breath, focus on the present moment and sensations of the air coming in through the nose and out through the mouth. And if you struggle to meditate like that, maybe then you can just chuck on some, what's the term for them again? Wheels. The wheels, when you're on a cycle, when you're younger and you're just practicing on your bike, you need some stabilizers. That's the name for them, stabilizers. Use those stabilizers as an easy entry point, if you will. That's much like how a guided meditation works in meditation. Those are the stabilizers. Then when you get used to it, you can take the stabilizers off and you can try and meditate for 10, 15 minutes using that method. But for now, we only need to do it for 3-5 minutes even, where we breathe in for 6, hold for 2, exhale for 7, while bearing in mind those things. And you can watch Meditation 101 for more tips on this. Next, 3 things to be grateful for. Whenever I ask someone, you know, think of one thing that you can be grateful for, if it's their first time, they struggle. And one of the better, most efficient tactics would be to think of one thing you value in life right now. One thing you value, one thing you love. What is that? Bring it to mind. Now imagine, close your eyes for a second, and imagine you woke up tomorrow and that thing was gone. Person, place, thing, your house, your mother, father, dog, car. Really feel into the emotion of waking up and losing that thing tomorrow. How would you feel? Now for me, it would probably be my home. I love my home. It's a shelter. It provides me with lots of benefits. It's aesthetically pleasing. It's my sanctuary, if you will. It's designed in a way that makes me feel happy. If I woke up tomorrow and for some unfortunate reason, I did not have my home, maybe it was, you know, pulled down in some form of natural disaster. I went up in flames due to some freak accident and I didn't have my home, I'd be upset, I'd be sad, I'd be stressed, and I would ultimately have to engage in all these activities that would be painful. Now, I value that, and then you'll have something that you value, and in the process of thinking about not having that in your life, there may be some resistance. It should, if you're doing it right, it should be emotional, but now you have something to be grateful for. Now you have something to be grateful for. Think of 3 things to be grateful for. Just takes a few moments in the morning and the evening. And now one act of kindness. Kind, doing kind things. Kindness is king. Kindness is king. And by doing a kind thing, you really can wear that emotion. You don't just help someone else. You help yourself because you serve to produce oxytocin, the kind of love and self-compassion hormone, neurotransmitter, in your body. And there's multiple research studies showing that the differences between engaging indulgent behaviours like going to the movies, going to the cinema, shopping, those sorts of things, in comparison with philanthropic activities and helpful activities, kind activities such as doing the dishes for someone, cleaning the house, or maybe going over and above the kind of normal predetermined behaviours in society. Maybe you take someone's bags off them, an elderly pensioner who's walking down the street struggling, you take their bags off them and, you know, you offer them help and you walk with them for a few blocks. You take that time out your day just to be philanthropic and help them in a very genuine way. See, there's 2 questions you can ask yourself. You can wake up and ask yourself, what can the world do for me? Or you can ask yourself, what can I do for the world? And believe me, through experience, asking yourself, what can I do for the world, and responding to that answer by engaging in kind and philanthropic activities can be a game changer. Not just for your immediate experience, but for your long-term health and fulfillment. So, if you go back to our little chart, if you're looking to really reduce anxiety, reduce stress, boost your positive emotion, and increase long-term health outcomes, then what you want to do is focus on mastering the fundamentals of eating, moving, sleeping well, mental training. Get those dialed in to optimize your mental health and well-being.